From atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the network refused to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for August the 2nd in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, that absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Hopefully you had a God, family, country-filled weekend, ladies and gentlemen, as I did indeed. Woo, man, we had a lot going on. Red pill, a month later, Freedom Fest, just hard-hitting talk all the while. Incredible interviews, so many that we couldn't even do them during the live events. Too many interviews, too many shows. Carried them forward. We're still not even done with all the incredible interviews that are known as what we took at Freedom Fest, what we interviewed, the people we interviewed at Freedom Fest. Couldn't even cover them all. So we did some of those last week. Had to take a day off on Saturday. So we were live Thursday, Friday, all last week except for Saturday. I took a break for once. Man, just so much coverage, so much news, so many details. But you know what? We're all over it. We've got a lot of rest Saturday and Sunday. And we're ready to go. Quick recap. Then our guest, Lowell Nelson, Campaign for Liberty. Then our guest, Dr. Scott Bradley, and another incredible hard-hitting talk radio broadcast at your fingertips. Here's Thursday's recap. We are with Kirk Crosby, All Things Liberty, localhoneyman.com. We talked about Thomas Patrick Conley. Jr. has been arrested for allegedly sending emails threatening White House Chief Medical Advisor Anthony Fauci and his family, according to a criminal complaint. And you know what? I don't know the truth, but all I can tell you is nobody should be threatening anyone. Okay, I couldn't agree with Fauci. I can't agree with the guy on anything. I think Fauci's a nutcase. All right, but I don't wish any ill to Fauci or his family. In fact, I pray for them that they'll come to their senses, that they will not continue, in my personal opinion, to which I'm entitled, I hope they don't continue to betray America. Okay, I think Fauci's a dishonest person. I don't think he's telling the truth. I think he's got a lot to hide. I think he's got a lot of whatever in his closet, right? And so I don't agree with Fauci on anything, but man, I don't wish any harm on the guy. CNN anchor Don Lemon doing a good job for once. I rarely agree with this guy, but he did a good job. He defended Fox News host Tucker Carlson. See, Tucker was in a fishing store in Montana. And basically somebody came and confronted Tucker and was pretty belligerent and kind of problematic and everything else. And Don Lemon said, you know what, I'm defending Tucker. I don't appreciate this. You know what, going up to people and abusing people, I don't like this. I don't like it one bit, said Don Lemon. He said, I would not want it to happen to me. And boy, I think Don Lemon's got it right. You know what? Do unto others as you would like them to do unto you. Treat people with kindness and dignity and civility and respect, okay? Even if you disagree, look, I'm not going to go accost Maxine Waters or Nancy Pelosi or Anthony Fauci or any of those people, okay? It's just not appropriate. It doesn't do any good. All it does is make things worse. Does that mean I agree with Fauci? Of course not. But I'm going to defend Fauci and his right to be, you know what, safe in his person. Because I defend that right for all of us, ladies and gentlemen. This is where we try to be nonpartisan, where we try to really be respectful and say, look, I don't care what side of the aisle are you on. Even the abortionists. I mean, I couldn't disagree with them more. But I'm not going to go accost one of them. Steve Voss writes an incredible song about how sad it is when we take violence or take things to the next level of violence. It's a shame. It's got to stop. Anyway, so I commend Don Lemon for speaking out on behalf of Tucker Carlson. You know what? This guy attacking Fauci or whatever it is, threatening Fauci, shame on him. Google announces vaccine mandate for workers. So I'm not going to go attack Google hierarchy. I'm going to, in the public forum, kind of shame Google and say, shame on you. Don't get political. Step back a little bit. Let people have their agency. Let people choose for themselves. Please. New York is even offering a $100 incentive for those who get vaccinations. Well, first off, $100 is a pretty, you know, in my opinion, meager amount to try to trade your health for. I think the vaccines are dangerous. I think they're not safe. They're not effective. They're not approved by the FDA. They're not. So you can claim they're safe and effective, but you do so without proof, and you do so without the level of the FDA approval. Oh, well, Sam, we just haven't had time to have that approval. You lie to me now. Stop. It's already been a year and a half. You've had plenty of time to get approval. Sam, it takes way longer than that. It does it? Why does it take so long? Well, Sam, because we have to prove it's safe and effective. I get it. Oh, you mean it takes so long because not because it has to be proven safe and effective, but because of government red tape? Which is it now? Which is it? Is it red tape and bogus that it takes so long, or is it legitimate that it takes so long? If it's legitimate, defend it and then say we haven't reached that level, because that's the honest conclusion. If, on the other hand, it takes so long because of red tape and for bogus reasons, then admit that too and downsize DC, would you please? All right, fraudulent PCR test exposed. CDC, believe it or not, quietly withdraws emergency use authorization for the PCR test because, well, it can't differentiate COVID-19 from influenza. Now, they say that you and I are ignorant because we act like COVID-19 is like the flu. Oh, how ignorant you are, you ignorant, non-scientific retards that don't have a clue. And then you say, oh, well, the test that you developed can't tell the difference either. Ah, how dumb am I? Got it. Now, you then ask for emergency authorization for that test. You get it granted. You use it. You say that 34 million plus people have the COVID. But then you admit at the end of that, we don't really know how many of those have the flu and have the COVID because our test can't tell the difference. And then you say, well, we need to, well, we're not, I know we asked for immediate authorization, but now we're going to withdraw quietly that emergency authorization for a test that, well, didn't really do the job anyway. And then when I say there's not much difference between the flu and the COCO, you're going to say you don't know, Sam. And I'm going to say, well, your test doesn't know either. And you obviously don't know because you can't tell me which in the numbers of your 34 million you claim have the COCO or had the COCO or have been tested positive for the COCO or really the COCO at all. They might be the flu and you don't even know, huh? So don't tell me I don't know and I'm ignorant. You don't even know. And if you do know, tell me which of those numbers are COVID and which of those are flu. And if you don't know, why did you ask for emergency authorization of a test that can't tell the difference if I'm so ignorant? And then why did you quietly ask to have that authorization removed because it can't tell the difference? Why am I getting angry and frustrated? Because I believe this dishonest effort from the CDC is shameful. They literally use those numbers to lock down, control, and just absolutely demonize any naysayers. And they ran around saying we're peddling fake news and information when we said you can't tell the difference between the two. And now they admit their test can't even tell. And they don't even know. And all the numbers they've been using this whole time, from numbers of cases to deaths to everything else, has been a fraudulent, dishonest, we don't know the difference either. Shame on you. CDC director now suggests that vaccine passports could be the way forward for Americans. Yeah, but what about all the breakthrough infections? What about all the people that just had the flu and not even the COVID in the first place? Vaccine is nothing but a control mechanism to break and violate the Fourth and Fifth Amendments of the United States Bill of Rights. Ladies and gentlemen, shame on them for their dishonesty. New York governor whacked out Cuomo. Yeah, he's going to mandate for the state employees. So if you're in New York, you got to have a vax, according to Cuomo, whacked out Cuomo. A vaccine that's not been proven safe or effective. Kind of like the emergency use for the test. It turned out to be bogus, and eventually they'll have to pull it. CDC says studies propelling shift in mask guidance not available. So now they're moving forward to this mask guidance in a supposedly emergency situation, and they don't even know the truth. Okay, they don't have the studies to prove their shift in guidance. They tell you, oh, the Delta variant, it's way worse. It's horrible. It's more infectious and more abusive than the other one. How do you know? Prove it. Other countries are saying, yeah, it's more virulent. In other words, it spreads faster. But usually the nature of viruses, the faster they spread, the less lethal they are. Get a lot of that, scientific goons. Usually, historically, unless you have science to prove this upsets the normal, you tell me this. Usually when it becomes more and more and more virulent or spread faster, it becomes weaker in its delivery, its payload. Is that true, scientific community? If it is, level with the American people and quit lying. If it's not true, then prove me the science to the contrary. Please, get it done and get it done now. Alarm sounded, ladies and gentlemen. COVID shot mandates pose risk to millions. May cause death, writes Bob Unruh, WND.com, one of the only news services with guts. The comments come from Dr. Paul Kenman. The guy is putting his whole career on the line. Paul Kempen. K-E-M-P-E-N. So none of y'all get mixed up in what I'm saying. Paul Kempen. He's a medical doctor. He leads the Association of American Physicians. He's no slouch, okay? Not only American physicians, but American physicians and surgeons. He leads that whole group. And he said alarm sounded, COVID shots pose risk to millions. And then I bring this up and they say, oh, Sam, you're discredited. You don't know anything. And I say, but I'm quoting a credible source. And they say, yeah, that guy was a rocket scientist back in the day. We made him, you know, the leader of these physicians and surgeons. He was so good for years, but now he's a whack, a crackpot, a nut. We reject everything you and he say. Shut you all down for your impertinence. Shame on these people. That was only in 1 hour of Liberty Roundtable Live on Thursday, our coverage. We also talked about Biden to demand federal workers get vaxxed. Is that really going to happen? Mike Lindell offering $5 million to anyone that can disprove his allegations of vote fraud. But you got to attend his event to get the $5 million. Cyber Ninjas says it's received $5.7 million in private donations, folks.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The Foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. I'm sorry to go off so crazy on this, but man, I'm telling you right now, the lies that we're being told every day, more and more evidence, every day, more and more truth comes out. And I'm telling you right now, these people, we need to really go after these people and criminally prosecute Fauci and many others for their criminal activity, ladies and gentlemen. It is out of control, and I'm livid about it. Holy moly. I don't want any harm to come to anyone, ladies and gentlemen, but I do want accountability via the rule of law. I'll tell you that right now. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. Welcome back. I'm so sorry to take so long, sir.
Thanks for having me, Sam. I love the rant, and I'm grateful for the rain this morning.
Amen to both. Can't take it anymore. All right, and I'm not even going to cover Friday's broadcast. There's so much to cover in that, but I'm going to hold that off in the interest of Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org, who, by the way, had an incredible event last Saturday, and he's here to tell us about it. Leadership training, sir.
Yeah, it was a wonderful event, Sam. 42 good people attended this school and at the Salt Lake Community College there in Sandy, Utah. Ted Harvey was our instructor. Ted's a former legislator in the state of Colorado. He actually worked in the Ronald Reagan administration, and then came back to the state of Colorado and was elected to the House, state House there, and then the state Senate, served, I don't know, 10, 15 years. So he really knows what he's talking about. The school went all day, 9 in the morning to 6 at night, and it was awesome. And the attendees are what impressed me, Sam. One attendee teaches interested parties about gun ownership and preparedness. Another one, by the way, was charged with criminal trespass for having kept an appointment at her doctor's office because she was not wearing a mask. So she's been being charged right now in Sandy City for that terrible offense. Several attendees were from the Platform Republicans PAC, whose mission is to support legislators who will adhere to the Republican Party platform. Now, this is a story that the next attendee, he represents the Voice for the Voiceless. Very interesting organization. Voiceforthevoiceless.life is the website. He and his wife are on the sidewalks 4 to 5 days every week, Sam. They work behind the scenes with city council, state legislators, law enforcement, and other like-minded organizations towards the total abolition of abortion. On their website, Sam, are some sobering statistics. 2 children die from abortion in the United States every 60 seconds. 1 in 3 women have had an abortion by age 45. And finally, every year here in Utah, 3,000 babies are killed. That's killed right here in pro-life conservative Utah, 3,000. But one highlight of the day came when Chris got a phone call in the late morning. He left the class. Chris is the name of the fellow who works there in the Voice for the Voiceless ministry. He left the class. Why did he leave? Well, it was to help a young woman who was thinking about getting an abortion. He spent the afternoon working with the young lady, and I learned late last night, Sam, that she had accepted their help. He texted me this. He said, quote, "That makes 4 babies rescued this week. It's an incredibly rewarding ministry," end of quote.
I've always said that the pro-life issue is the most important issue we can deal with in America, because if we don't have life, you know, it's all about the protection of life, liberty, and property, the whole purpose of government. And if we don't have the protection of life of the most innocent among us, what do we have in terms of liberty and property? The answer is it all goes downhill from there. Those who lose their lives without a choice before they're even able to fight for it, the most innocent among us. If we can't fight for that and win, how can we appeal to God for our other liberties? I don't get the disconnect in most people's minds, but I think this is the most important issue, bar none, sir.
Well, I agree, Sam, and it was by the example of this man, Chris Martinson is his name, wonderful young man, and, you know, I mean, who would pay $50 for a class and then leave, like, just 2 hours into it? Well, it's a man who values life, and he went out and he rescued a baby a Saturday. And that was the 4th one that week. It was just incredibly sobering, encouraging, inspiring.
Email Chris and have him call me, and we got to get this guy on the radio. A guy that stands up for life in his spare time, he's working on liberty, right? I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah, I'll do that, Sam. Great idea.
What a wonderful example, like, though, and that's what we need. I agree with that for sure. All right, anything else on this Liberty School?
Nothing more except the survey that I had to answer in order to...
Hold on. Before you get to the survey, I want to mention really quick, Lowell. Sorry to keep interrupting. Yeah. I want to mention, though, there are schools all over the country like this, ladies and gentlemen. We just give you the Utah example, but since this is a nationally syndicated radio show on AM and FM terrestrial radio stations and worldwide via the internet and more, I want you to know, just because you didn't go to this school in Utah, there are schools all over the country, and here's how you can learn more about them. Do that quickly, Lowell, then the survey.
Very good. Yes. Go to a website, FACL-training. FACL is the 4 letters, stands for Foundation for Applied Conservative Leadership. So that's Foxtrot Alpha Charlie Lima. FACL-training.org/schools/events and you'll see there are a list of schools being taught in the month of August. There's 14 of those schools in North Carolina, Kansas, Alabama, Virginia, Washington, Michigan, Florida, Indiana, Georgia, New Hampshire, New York, and Massachusetts, and several actually taught in Florida this month. And so, and they're always going on. You know, our instructor said that last year they taught maybe a total of 15 or 20 schools. This year they're teaching that many every single month. And so there is a school near you. Yeah, it's fantastic. The interest in this school just shot up dramatically. Why? Well, because of this COVID lockdowns and masking mandates, the business closures. People are upset, Sam, and they're going to these schools and learning how they can make a difference in governing their local governments, which is where the lockdowns are occurring, by the way. The governors, the mayors, the county health directors, that's where these lockdowns are originating. Some of them at the governorship, but, you know, these schools teach people what to do and how to do it. It's pretty awesome, Sam.
It's incredible, and I mention that because I want people to understand we don't just cover this because it's a Utah thing or a local thing. We rarely do that. Oftentimes, we always have a national reason. If it's a local event in our area, we're encouraging you to have those kinds of events in your area, if it's et cetera, et cetera. So this is not just a, oh, man, they're talking about Provo, Utah, or they're talking about Ogden, Utah, or they're talking about this local place they're having an event. Yeah, we are. To some degree, but we're encouraging you to mirror that all over the country. We're encouraging you, if you have something happening in your area that we're not doing, to call us, to email us, to let us know about it so we can spread the word. It's all about learning how to do it, folks. It's all about learning how to work together. It's all about inspiration from one another of what difference. That's Liberty Roundtable Live. I don't have all the information, folks. I'm just a guy like you are. But man, when I got guys like Lowell Nelson and Scott Bradley and Pete Sapp and Kirk Crosby and all kinds of people jump into the round table, pretty soon, man, it's a brain trust, a wealth of information because of who's bringing this information to you. And it's not small groups. It's groups like Lowell Nelson, who's literally involved with the National Campaign for Liberty organization, who brings us articles from Lou Rockwell and RonPaulInstitute.org. and other places like that. This is a huge brain trust think tank known as Liberty Roundtable Live, and I'm just grateful to be part of it. That's all. Anyway, Political Leadership School, fantastic. It's happening all over the country. And
by the way,
yes, sir.
If you don't see a school near you, but you can get together at least 20 people in your town, they will come to you. FACO will actually send an instructor to you if you can get 20 or more people to assemble to learn these important skills. So I don't care if you live in Kansas and Florida and Alaska. I don't care where you are in the United States. If you want to get a school together, you can host a school right in your town. The faculty will come to you. So go to facal-training.org. That's facal-training.org, and you can click a button there and actually host a school if there's not one near you. Sam?
Now, there's an incredible series of survey questions that are asked as well to kind of gauge the Liberty Movement and take guidance from conservatives, etc. And Lowell was filling this out, and he brought up a few questions that he thought, you know what, these are worthy of kind of discussion. Lowell?
Yeah, I do. I want to get your take on these, Sam. You have great insight. You've been dealing with issues for a lot longer than I have. And so, like question number 6 on this survey, marriage, it says, should be defined as one man and one woman only. Now, I marked generally agree, but then I thought to myself, I'm not sure that marriage should be defined by government. Isn't marriage a religious institution, or does government have a compelling interest in defining marriage? Sam, what do you think of that?
I think, well, let me tell you what I think right after the pause, ladies and gentlemen, but I'll be very, very clear about what I think on this. No unequivocation, no confusion. I'm going to lay it down as I see it. That doesn't mean it's perfect. It just means it's my opinion to which I'm entitled. You can agree or disagree, and if you, either way, we'll still be friends. How's that? All right, hang tight. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org on your radio.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
U.S. USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. Former President Donald Trump on Sunday accused legacy media outlets of continuously spreading the claim that there is no evidence of election fraud, adding in a statement that, in the end, truth will win. The New York Times and others always insert a clause into their stories without evidence that the election was decided fraudulently. As usual, this is fake news, Trump said in a statement. Missouri Democrat Cori Bush slammed her House colleagues for adjourning for August recess without passing an extension of the CDC eviction moratorium for renters. Bush is sleeping on the steps of the U.S. Capitol in an effort to appeal to her colleagues to extend the moratorium.
Their human dignity, and they deserve for the people that are paid to represent them to show up and do the work to make sure that they have their basic needs met.
She says she will stay there until something gets done. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, some big news. Eric Bolling is back on TV with a new show. Tune into Newsmax every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern and watch Eric Bolling on The Balance. Eric is the balance to big media, woke politics, and cancel culture. All this week, Eric is exposing the dangers of Joe Biden's inflation. It's already rising big time, and it could wipe out your stocks, bonds, cash, even your retirement. So get the truth about Biden and find your balance. Watch Eric Bolling on Newsmax at 4 p.m. Eastern today. More than 30 million Americans watch Newsmax. It's on all major cable systems. If your operator doesn't carry it, call them. Tell them you want it. Plus, find Newsmax free on streaming systems like Roku, Samsung, LG, Pluto, Zumo, and more. Or download the free Newsmax app on your phone and watch it anytime, anywhere. More than 30 million Americans are tuning into Newsmax because it's real news for real people.
As the country grapples with the surge in the Delta variant of the COVID-19 coronavirus, Dr. Anthony Fauci believes that lockdowns the country saw last year are likely to not return, though he warned things will get worse during an interview on ABC's This Week.
If you look at the acceleration of the number of cases, the seven-day average has gone up substantially. You know, what we really need to do, John, we say it over and over again, and it's the truth. We have 100 million people in this country who are eligible to be vaccinated, who are not getting vaccinated.
Hong Kong Chief Executive Carrie Lam on Tuesday announced that the local government is currently drafting a fake news bill aimed at combating what it deems to be misinformation, hatred, and lies, a move which experts have dubbed as the latest assault on press freedom in the city. During a press conference, Lam said that the government was looking into fake news in the city, but didn't provide a timetable. This is USA Radio News.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org on your radio. So we're talking about a survey at the leadership school, and one of the questions says, marriage should be defined as one man and one woman only. Well, here's my response to this, ladies and gentlemen. Let's be very, very clear, okay, shall we? God-given inalienable rights come from God, not government. And we've got 10 of them articulated in the Bill of Rights, where government is a no-no, keep your hands off of. A lot of people think that only applies to the federal government, but not to the states. I disagree with that dishonest interpretation as well. Okay, these are God-given rights, and the state has no more authority to violate them than the federal government does. Let's be very clear, okay? However, a marriage is something that God ordained and put together. Adam meet Eve, by the way. And so let's let God be in charge of marriage, shall we? And let's let God define marriage, which he already has, is between one man and one woman. So we don't need a government definition at all. We've already got one. It's biblical. It comes from God. It's an inalienable right to marry and bring forth children. It's a God-given mandate, really, if you will. And let's not have government tamper or get involved in it at all. Now, understand, the only time God or government got involved in marriage in the first place is when government wanted to play racist. Government got in marriage because blacks shouldn't be marrying whites and etc. And somehow government decided it had the moral high ground above God. Shame on government for this. Now government wants to control marriage in all kinds of other weird ways. So every time government gets involved where it ought not, it goes all south every single time. Make no mistake about that. Now, do I think government has an appropriate moral support of things godly? I do. How does government do that? Well, government does have an appropriate responsibility or legitimate role based on the consent of the governed, which is to honor contracts. So if you have a marriage contract and you decide to write it down, then let government honor it in the courts if it ever gets breached or broken. But if there's just an entry in the Bible, let it be God. And so, frankly, I don't see where government fits in at all, Lol. I just don't.
Yeah, well, I like that, Sam. That was kind of what I was thinking, you know, because God is the one who ordained marriage. I think government only defines marriage because of the tax laws, right? They try to, you know, if you're married, then you get better tax benefits than if you're unmarried, you know, if you're single. So, I don't know, it's like social engineering is what government's trying to do with that. And if we didn't have income taxes, then the marriage probably wouldn't even be an issue, kind of, you know?
Well, that's even debatable. I've got friends that are living together and they won't get married because it will cost them tax-wise to get married, and they're better off single, and so they just live together single because of the tax benefits.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
So I'm telling you right now, just get government the heck out of it and treat it like the Bill of Rights. We got to have the 11th Bill of Rights. Thou shalt not have government involved in personal relationships.
Yeah, I like that. It's a good idea. All right, next question.
All right, anyway, there you go. Go ahead,
next
sir.
Next question, marijuana. Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you. Perfect. Go ahead, marijuana.
Okay, marijuana should be legalized for recreational use. Now, in this, I put generally agree because I don't have the moral authority to tell you what you may or may not put into your body, but I do believe that the recreational use of marijuana, especially by minors, should be discouraged. Just not by government. It's kind of like alcohol. I don't believe in it. I think it should be discouraged, but I don't think government should be able to tell you you can't do it. What do you think?
Why do we have to make it legal or illegal? Why does government always have to be the authority? Why does government always have to be the deciding factor in control of everything? Why don't we just say, you know what, I don't know if it's legal or illegal. Government doesn't have any involvement in that. If you commit a crime, then that's illegal and prosecute. Otherwise, leave people alone.
I like it. Okay.
Remember, De Tocqueville highlighted this very well, Lowell, when he basically said, look, the people are good. America's great because the people are good, meaning moral. And if America ceases to be good, meaning the people, it's going to cease to be great. He even went around and said, look, they can do anything. Anything is legal. There's no illegality on anything, but they don't do it because they're moral. Look, let's teach our children that drugs are bad for you. But look, you know what? I'm not here to outlaw peyote for the Indians, and I'm not here to outlaw, you know, marijuana for people. I'd just say, look, I wouldn't smoke it and use it. I don't think it's good for you. I think you need to put air in your lungs, not things that make you cough, okay? And it's very simple to retards like me, and that's how it is. But you know what? Government, get out of it. Leave us alone, okay? Because I just want to have a wild society, but because I believe we need to learn to be good. And if we learn to be good based on moral principle, we don't have to worry about every little jaunt and tittle of the 3,000 gazillion government laws. Next question.
Yeah, I remember Hugh Nibley saying that you can measure the decadence of a society by the amount of their rule of their laws. You know, you multiply in
couldn't agree more.
Millions, then that's how decadent a society is. Next question is about illegal aliens. It says illegal aliens currently in the United States should be granted amnesty and given a quick path to citizenship. On this one, I mark generally disagree, but I don't know what to do, Sam. I don't know what to do with the illegals who were born here, you know, brought here without their knowledge, without their own volition. What do you do with them?
I think there's a lot of ways we could go about these issues, ladies and gentlemen. And I think the first thing you do is instead of trying to worry about the whole, and instead of trying to worry about the most legitimate reasons someone is here, that's what they always want to put forward because that's the hardest to deal with, right? But what that does by nature is it goes about the whole view, in my opinion, of illegal immigration wrong. Don't bring me the most worthy candidate to be here and say, how do we deal with them? Because then what you're going to do is move to the least worthy candidate to be here, and you're going to try to include them as well. Let's start the other way. I don't want to talk about, at least right now, the people who come here to no fault of their own as little children, or those who need to be here because they're fleeing from some political situation in another country they need protection, because those are legitimate people. What I want to do is start talking about the criminals, the thugs, the rapists, the pillagers, the plunderers. And I want to find a way to stop every one of those people. 100% stop them. Let's shut that illegal criminal door shut right now. And once we get that done, now we can start talking about the legitimacy of certain circumstances that might be dealt with differently. But until you close that door and make it about the legitimates, you're making it about the whole group by nature. Does that make sense, Lowell?
Yes, I like that approach. You know what I'm saying? I don't think I've ever heard that approach, but it certainly makes sense to me. I like it.
Yeah, so because what happens is if I give you a reason that, oh my gosh, Johnny, who was brought here when he was four, how is he at fault? You're right, he's not. But now the illegal that comes to the door is kind of riding on his coattails, in my opinion, wrongfully so. So let's shut the illegal door so hard you'll never open that sucker. And let's hold countries accountable financially and everything else around the globe to ensure and make that happen. Let's take away the carrots and the wrong reasons people are coming to America by getting rid of socialism and welfare and everything else. And let's lock that door so tight you'll never see straight. Now let's talk about legitimates who deserve to be here for certain reasons. And I think then that discussion becomes real. It becomes legitimate. It becomes appropriate. And I'm not at all saying, because then if I give any exception, they're going to say, you think one size fits all. You're letting these people get amnesty. And they try to beat me up as a politician. Well, no duh. You went about it all wrong to the point where everybody and their dog gets in for any reason under the sun. You'll never win that debate. But if I shut that illegal door hard for criminals and rapists and anybody who's got a record and this kind of stuff, and I lock out those who have ailments and problems that'll just be a burden on society, and I jettison all the carrots and the wrong reasons people come. You know, are you really coming to fight hard for freedom and learn to work hard and become an American? Or are you just coming here to have a baby for free and have your kids educated for free? Why are you here? Okay, and we start that way, then I think we can eventually back into a common sense discussion about those who are, what do they call them? When they come here and they're little kids and then they grow up, what are they called again?
Oh, yeah, dreamers.
Yeah, dream. Okay, they create a name for them because what you want to do is just love the name, and you can't be against the dreamers, can you? I mean, America's about dreams. How dare you go against the dreamers? See how that is? And you just can't win that argument. But I can defend the dreamers if we really shut the illegal criminal door.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? How long have you been in America, young man? Oh, since you were three. How old are you? 25? Great. How has your life been? Are you a criminal in America? Are you a good guy? Let's evaluate your case one at a time, because now that we've got rid of the criminals, we've got rid of the people that are here, let's narrow the scope down. How many are there? A million of those? Good. Let's look at them and find out. What have you done with the wonderful freedoms you've been blessed with for the last whatever number of years since you got here to no fault of your own? And we just go through that and say, hey, what have you done with your liberty, sir, ma'am? And you know what? If they've been tax-paying, liberty-loving Americans, well, maybe they deserve to stay. But that's a different discussion now that I've flat-out shut the criminal door down. You can't tell me I'm for amnesty for everybody. That's a lie, and don't even start there. So that's what we've got to do, in my humble opinion, Lowell. And I know I've taken way too long. We'll get to question 14 in a second. But these are hardcore, serious issues that most people, you got to be able to think through this stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Come on now. All right, Sam and Lowell, you are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Listen to the wind blow.
Yeah, this is David in engineering.
This is your wife in suburbia.
Oh, hi, hon, what's up?
How's the robot coming?
Well, he doesn't exactly respond to requests yet, but I'm...
Well, I know how frustrating that can be.
You do?
Uh-huh. I'm still waiting for my romantic lunch date.
Oh, yeah.
David.
Well, I must not have enough memory allocated.
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
You know, your son said mama today.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Well, we'll have to have that sound chip changed to Dada.
Well, you could reprogram it yourself, you know.
I know. Hey, why don't we do it over lunch today?
Oh, you really are brilliant.
Thanks. You want me to bring the robot?
David.
He can order pasta in 11 languages.
Only if he pays for his own lunch.
Okay. Oh, don't forget to bring Chip.
I still wish we hadn't named him that.
Well, why? It beats general default.
Oh.
Family. Isn't it about time?
Do you know that a baby processes information 3 times faster than an adult?
An adult what?
Engineer. Funny.
I'll see you at noon.
I can't wait.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of 1-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. Sorry to take so long on these questions. They are weighty matters, though, Lowell Nelson.
They really are weighty, and I appreciate so much your perspective on them. The fourth and last question I had questions about was about abortion. Where do you stand on life at conception? They gave us 5 choices here. They say abortion should be, illegal in all cases, illegal except if the mother's life is at risk, illegal except in the case of rape and incest, illegal except in the case of rape, incest, and health of the mother, or legalized. Abortion should be legalized. Now, I chose the second one, illegal except if the mother's life is at risk, I don't know whether that it opens that little loophole, becomes a large loophole. I mean, what if a doctor, just says, well, your life is at risk, you better get an abortion. So that might be too big of a loophole, yet I believe that if the mother thinks that she's going to die by giving birth, I mean, a lot of mothers would do so simply because they would rather give up their own life than to take someone else's life. And I have great admiration for that. But as far as, mandating that by law, I'm not sure. So what's your
I think differently on this. Ma'am? Why do we have to have a specific abortion discussion separate from the murder discussion?
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I understand, life is not a group deal. Life is an individual deal. Mm-hmm. Either my life is viable or it's not. Same with you and same with each child sent from God to us. All right. So why are we looking at it as a group discussion? Or we're going to decide the right here and whatever. Why don't we just look at it and say, look, the killing of anyone is a murder. Now, if you want to say, hey, let's have some exceptions for that, why don't those exceptions be taken on case by case as every life should be? And you say, well, Sam, that's not manageable. Yes, it is. Yes, it is manageable. If we can manage everybody on the planet, we could certainly manage everybody being born to the planet. We seem to control and manage every birth certificate and every death certificate on the planet. Don't tell me you can't deal with it individually. Otherwise, quit issuing birth and death certificates, okay? Stop already. Okay, the fact is we need to be accountable, and we should look at it case-by-case basis. And if your job and goal is to preserve life, then you're fine. 90% of the cases wouldn't even go to the government in the first place. But if someone thought it was a murder, let it be tried like any other murder. If it's not, then okay. So let's. Why do we have to deal with this in a general statement decided by government in the get-go? Why not let each individual precious life be determined in the balance individually? Thou shalt not kill should be the standard, and let's just start there and deal with it on an individual, every life matters basis. Take that, life matters, people.
Well, thank you, Sam. You have great insight on these matters. I appreciate it very much.
All right. Thank you, sir, for considering my thoughts on some of those things. I think they're very serious matters, and I don't mean to be angry about them, but I do mean to be very passionate. I do mean to say these are serious, weighty issues that absolutely matter. All right, let's talk about the January 6th show trials threatened all of us real quick.
Yeah, Ron Paul posted this column on Monday, last Monday, about the implications of these show trials. I mean, you look at Paul Hodgkins, his case, he was sentenced to 8 months in prison for being a domestic terrorist by a court that said, quote, in carrying a Trump flag into the Senate, Hodgkins was declaring his loyalty to a single individual over the nation, end of quote. Wow, talk about weird perspective there. The prosecution also admitted that he was not a domestic terrorist. Quote, the government recognizes that Hodgkins did not personally engage in or espouse violence or property destruction. We concede that Mr. Hodgkins is not under the legal definition of a domestic terrorist. End of quote. Yet, Hodgkins, he was considered a terrorist because his taking a selfie in the Senate chambers occurred during an event that the court is framing in the context of terrorism, end of quote. So, I mean, Ron Paul, he is warning us that sending Americans to prison for what they think, not for what they did, is flat out wrong, Sam. And that's
but even on this thought process, even on this thought process, Lowell, I say it's criminal. You're allowed to think whatever you want to. If I think down with the government, now, shame on me for thinking that, but I have every right to think that if I want to. Now, if I take that to action that crosses the line of criminal activity, prosecute to the fullest extent. I get it and support that. But you know what? I can think whatever I want to. If I think the government's a criminal enterprise, I think it should be shut down tomorrow, I have every right to think that. Now, I haven't taken any wrongful action or any illegal action, so leave me the heck alone. All right? A lot of these libertarians with their live and let live policies make sense to me. Now, they cross some lines, in my opinion, too, but all I'm saying is we need to get a hold. The older I get, the more libertarian in my thinking I become, to a great degree, Lowell.
Well, and I think that's what's happening with me, too, Sam. More and more liberty-minded the older I get. You know, live and let live. Don't violate anyone else's life, liberty, and property, and stay the heck out of mine.
There is no criminal activity in anything this guy did. The idea that he's even up on any charges right now is absolutely shameful and points to the, in my opinion, the paranoia of the deep state. They're so paranoid they got to go after guys like that. Are you kidding me right now?
Well, and it's shameful that they're holding these political prisoners. There's, what 500 or 600 people that are currently in prison because of they simply walked into the Capitol building on January 6th. That is flat out wrong, Sam. And
amen to that.
Covered a little bit last week, and that's why I just wanted to follow up. Ron Paul's writing about it too. He's got your back. You've got his, and we need to stop this. The people, you know, they need to be tried. They need to be freed. You know, it's foolish.
He's right about that. They do threaten every single one of us, Lowell.
Yeah, no question. Well, and that brings us to this article by...
I want to mention this one really quick first, too. 7 words that curse the state. Karen Kwiatkowski. And I don't want to ignore the last topic, but I want to have the rest of the time to it. What I don't want to do is run out of time. So let's talk about these 7 words, because I think they're important, too, Lowell. A pretty interesting discussion. I have a slight twist on this, but go ahead, sir.
Okay, she says there are 7 words we need to use more often to embolden us, to give us courage against the state. The first word is tyrant or tyranny, meaning the arbitrary or unrestrained exercise of power, the despotic abuse of authority. Is that not what we see around us every day? Yeah, I think it is. Hypocrite is an emotional word and should be directed at our government and its spokespeople and defenders every minute of every hour of every day. Another great word is liar. It's used by the state towards us citizens, as if they censure our speech, for example. The best example is the COVID-19 fiasco. It's a government-run gain-of-function-enhanced virus leaked from a government lab, resulting in government-directed shutdown, government-funded vaccine development, government-required genetic messenger RNA therapy development, with government-exempted safety and testing protocols, to government-mandated injections, to vaccine passports issued and mandated by who else? Government. That's the example, right? It's all based on lies. And you look at whistleblowers like Julian Assange and Craig Murray and Daniel Hale. These good men were declared to be enemies of the state, and the state calls them liars, but in reality, the state is lying to us about them. Fauci is a liar, and we need to call him out on this. More people have been murdered by their own governments than by any other entity or class of people throughout history. Liars in government service have been and remain today, Sam, the absolute cause of literally millions of human deaths. And what do they use to cover up their deceit? Lies. Lies upon lies. Well, liberty is another word we should use. The fourth word, she says, the state disdains liberty because liberty is antithetical to control, and the state wants absolute control over you and me. Two more favorite words that Karen recommends, no and mine. No is a good initial response to nearly every government edict or request. You can always say yes later, but you got to start with no. And the word mine speaks to ownership, and that's important because the state wants to eliminate private property. If you cannot own property, you cannot be free. You have no liberty if you cannot own property. And finally, Sam, the seventh and final word is thank you. Let us be grateful. Let's recognize God's providence in our lives. Those are the seven words, Sam. What do you think?
And I love those seven words, and I generally agree with the point. Well, first off, I 100% agree with the point. I want to give a little bit of a warning, though, about some of these words, and I'll make my point as clear and as simple as I can. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, that we want to be the leaders in civility. Okay, I get that we agree and disagree and everything else, but we got to be very civil. So I'll give you an example to make the point. I like the seven words. For sure. Tyranny, I like. Tyrant, I hesitate a little bit. Calling somebody a tyrant, all you got to do is change your language slightly to say that the principles they're advocating for will result in tyranny. Okay, I don't have to call them a tyrant. They may truly believe in what they're saying, even though they don't mean to be a tyrant. So we need to try to not make these words personal. So tyranny is better than tyrant. For example, hypocrite, I think we use the term hypocritical and say, you know what? What they're saying is hypocritical. Fauci to run around and do this or that, or these governors to, you know, say, hey, you got to lock down for Thanksgiving and then go for their own Thanksgiving party and we catch them at it and photos and everything else. Don't call them a hypocrite. Just say, look, that's a hypocritical behavior, because now you're not personalizing the discussion. Liar, okay, you know what? This is not the truth. You don't have to call the person a liar, but you can say, you know what? That's a falsehood. That isn't true. Okay, so we can take on the truth, but we don't have to personalize it. Liberty, great. No, absolutely fantastic. Tell them no all the time. Mine, it is mine. Ours, private property. Focus on the private property focus when we say mine, because we don't want to act like little kids. It's mine, it's yours. The principle's right, but be careful that, you know, relate it to, look, this is about private property. Okay, thank you. In my opinion, I know that's a little more of a phrase than one word, but I think that's fantastic. The more we use those phrases, the more kind and civil we'll be. So I love the concept. I want to bring the reality of civility into the discussion, though, and teach people not to make the comments directed at individuals or make it personal. I can be kind and respectful to you, but I can still shoot down your idea that wants to promote tyranny. Okay, I can still shut down your desire to steal my private property. Okay, I can still use words that, look, that's stealing. I'm not making it personal to you. I'm just telling you, thou shalt not steal is a common. Okay, let's make sure that the language articulates what we really mean and that we don't make things personal to attack, because if we do, then we're going to be holding the moral high ground. That's the only point. But I agree with the principle entirely, Lowell.
You are a wise man, Sam. That's
and I'm not saying that I do it perfectly. I'm a talk show host. I'm very good at personal attacks, and I got to repent and try harder. So I'm not. I don't want you to think that I've got this all under control. The last point, and I hate to give you the least time on this because I think it's the most important. However, we're going to be talking about this in detail with Dr. Scott Bradley. Speech by Samuel Adams, August 1st. Yesterday was the Sabbath on August 1st. Lowell, you've got 15 seconds on this one. Sorry, but we're covering it next hour.
Oh, I'm glad that you'll be covering it, Sam. I will listen to it. Basically, this speech by Samuel Adams on the State House, Philadelphia, this is a famous speech where he said crouch down and lick the hands which feed you. We ask not your counsels or your arms. But wonderful speech. Everyone should read it and celebrate the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Sam?
Thank you, Lowell. I just know if anybody can give it the real treatment it deserves is Dr. Scott Bradley, so that's why. Thank you so much, sir, for everything you do. Godspeed. CampaignForLiberty.org. Thanks, Lowell.